Hello, and welcome to the CTO Coffee Hour. I'm Matt Lee with Schematical.com and Cloud War Games. And with me, as always, is Dominic DeMarco.
Happy Tuesday.
I'm usually drinking coffee, but I've completed my coffee. Now I'm drinking water this time. I'm plenty caffeinated at this point of the day already.
And I, as per usual, am drinking Diet Dr. Pepper out of a coffee mug. So today's topic is hiring technical people, devs, specifically people that are going to build stuff that runs on the internet in 2026. And, you know, it's a tough time to be in both positions, the person doing the hiring and the person being hired right now. The person doing the hiring, my clients, they hire developers all the time, and, you know, they're being inundated with AI generated resumes that are, you know, I have a comic about this, just schematical.com/comics, where they ask for 2 years, 3 days, 7 hours of experience with Python, and they got resumes that specified that duration. And in reality, I mean, that's not such a jump forward from the truth, but that's what they're seeing, is these resumes that are completely tailored for the job. And then you also have people that are using tools to, I don't want to say cheat, but to augment.
Oh, cheat.
Okay. That are meant to deceive the employer's understanding of the technical knowledge of the employee. And they use these tools in the call to listen in and present solutions that, you know, deceive the employers to the actual abilities of the interviewee. If they can actually use those tools in, you know, when the servers are on fire, or to actually build, maybe it's not such a bad thing. But I get, generally, deception isn't something I'd like to lead off the relationship with. On the other side of that,
what they've got is they've got AI that is listening to the interviewer ask a question and feeding them information on their screen real time of what's happening. Now, they've started doing screen shares, but then somebody has their phone sitting right up next to their computer. Their phone is listening to the question and feeding them answers directly generated from AI for the question the interviewer is asking. But that's not the topic of today's conversation.
Well, and so on the flip side of that is, it's very difficult as to apply for a job right now because of the sea of AI resumes. It's very difficult to stand out. So I wanted to talk about some tips for potential candidates right now that I want to get in there. And there's also a lot of shady practices for people who are abusing the candidates. I haven't seen a ton of this, but I've seen people, basically they have to submit, you know, code samples for features before they're actually employed, and they accept the code samples and they don't actually employ the person, the applicant. They never get hired. And I've heard of people doing like four rounds of that. Now, is that real? I have no idea. All I'm saying is it's difficult in both sides. And so I figured, let's chat about it.
Well, when I was hiring developers, I would always give them a coding project to do. But two things in the agreement was, one, you will get paid for your time on this coding project. It was only 2 to 4 hours worth of code. But two, in our agreement, it was, this will never be used for anything besides the coding sample. So I understand wanting to see a coding sample from somebody, but even back then, and this has been years, then they would actually come to work and you could tell that the coding sample, either they Googled the entire thing or it took them days to do, because you would sit over their shoulder and watch them write code and they could hardly write a loop without looking at the documentation. So yeah. This is as old as time. It's just a mouse and mousetrap sort of game, that everything is just moving faster, more real time now than it was before.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of these problems we've seen before. I'm sure, you know, it's not BS in interviews. This is not new. Question for you on that, though. Did you 1099 them or W-2 them when they were doing that? Because you couldn't W-2 everybody
to do the
code samples.
Geez, it's been a decade, but it had to be 1099, because W-2 brings about its own suite of problems and legalities that you have to deal with that would make no sense. So it had to be a 1099. Or, shit, it might even have been a gift card all the way back then or something like that as well.
Oh, don't tell the IRS that.
Well, if you're listening, IRS.
Yeah. So What's another way you can see somebody's kind of abilities ahead of time? And I make it easy and upfront for people that are interested in hiring me by releasing a ridiculous amount of open source projects and code. So you can look at my GitHub. I think it's publicly, I think I've got 202 repos. So you can tell a lot about how I think. And I went and looked at Jonathan Limbird's repos as well. I looked at the founder of Ionix, who's a friend of ours, Max's. And just the some of these super performers. And I look and they're not hesitant to show you a lot of things. And you can browse that. Actually, I was looking at one of my clients' candidates, and I was looking at, some of the candidates. And some of them you could see, hey, they did an intro to Python, and they're applying for a position, and they created this repo. It's a tutorial Hello World Python repo, and they're applying for a position that requires 5 years of Python, and they cloned that repo a month ago, and it's just like red flag. So, but if they had contributed, say, to Django, I wish I could remember his name, but one of my clients actually has a service provider who is one of the main people for Django's ORM. He's spoken on it, and it's like, you look at that guy's GitHub repo, it's like, yeah, he's contributed more to that than, and you don't have,
but you're talking about people with years and years of deep experience. I mean, how does a newbie get in on this then? I mean, they went to a coding boot camp and they've got their code from the coding boot camp available. I mean, is that still,
it depends on the job level you're applying for. So if you're applying for an entry-level job, I'm going to be a lot less restrictive on my requirements, but I would want to see some self-study. Like, another thing I hire for is passion. You know, that's something you can't train. It's something I was just reading recently. You can't train hungry. And so I want to see people try. I want to see people fail. I want to see how they solve problems. I want to look at their commits and see what happens when their back's up against a wall and how they creatively solve stuff. I want to know their communication skills. Do they put commit messages in there? Now, if you're a junior, maybe you don't. Maybe you move fast and break things. I want to know that ahead of time, though, so I can put you in a position that's most likely to succeed. You know, so if you're coming to my organization, I'd partner you with someone that's a bit stronger on the documentation side and might not be as, creative, or if you're a heavy documenter, maybe I'll partner you with my lone wolf guy and bring you in and say, you're going to document everything he's got. You're going to train the next setup. So I want to learn. Do you like teaching people? Do you have a solid grasp of object-oriented programming, or, in the case of something like Lua, procedural programming or functional programming, I want to play to your strengths. I want to set whoever's coming into the organization up to succeed. And I want to kind of know the habits of what we're getting into. Is there anything I need to untrain to make them viable to the business? Again, not documenting anything, using just, random commit messages, things like that. That's not going to flow as an organization. Now, as a solo, that might crush it. I mean, and we see solo devs that are coming out of being like a striving to be a levels IO that are coming into the workforce, and they're still useful in especially in a startup space. But they've also got some habits that, again, if you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. You've got to be able to work as a team member there. And so there's so much I personally get by looking at their GitHub or GitLab or whatever their VCS of choice is.
Curious. I'm going to look at my GitHub right now. It's been forever. Anyways, yeah. Carry on. Yeah.
So, but that's that. I mean, all those tell me, and they tell me how recently they're dealing with different code bases. Have they forked the code base that we're using? So if I put out a job that says, hey, this framework, we're using this framework, and if they haven't, I don't want to say forked this, but at least done a Hello World on that.
Branched it or something. Yep.
That tells me something. Now, is it a requirement that everybody uses whatever obscure frameworks we do before I'll even talk to you? No. But if you want to get to the head of that list, I want to see the ones that have gotten their hands dirty with whatever tech I'm using. And so that boosts you up. I personally, when applying, I'm very particular about who I want to work with. So I would do deep dives into their technology, and I would research it, and I would really get my hands dirty on it. And I'd come up with, write up suggestions, things like that on the topic that I would submit along with whatever my resume is, basically as a cover letter. And I mean, I've even done videos. I applied for something. I was applying, this is a little bit aside, but I was applying to be part of a professional community. of entrepreneurs and content makers. And I did a video application. They said they'd never seen that before. And they were very interested, you know, in me because of that. So obviously I make videos and podcasts and everything else. So I, you know, you can see I take it to the next extent. But if someone doesn't have any of that, then either A, they're very green. But if they say they've got 10 years of, you know, experience under the belt, they either better work at Lockheed Martin or something like that under some NDA. That's another thing. Oh, yeah, we get a lot. Oh, I was under NDA. It's like, okay, well, then it should be pretty easy to verify you worked at Lockheed Martin or one of those big things there. So that then you just check your references, and they better have a bunch of just shining references there. But if you can't get a hold of someone and verify they had a very prestigious job there and that, you know, they didn't just leave and are not eligible for rehire, you know, so that's something. I worked here from this date to this date and they're not eligible for rehire. Red flag. So
my GitHub goes back to 2009, but it's been stale for quite a many years.
Are you applying for tech jobs anytime soon?
Nope. Last time I did try to apply for tech jobs several years ago, it did not. There's a lot of fake job postings and the AI and everything else right now. Like, I had a pretty good resume, I had pretty good experience, and it was a brutal environment.
Well, that's another fake job posting, which is a big corporate thing. I don't fully understand, but it seems like some of them are trying to bolster their numbers with saying, hey, they got this many job postings, and they don't really aren't actually hiring for it. You know, that's an interesting dynamic, which I don't see in the early stage world because we don't have that much bureaucracy.
Well, I think it fills two purposes. It makes HR look like they're doing something all the time. So, and then the other part of it is you just keep a large stack of resumes such that when you do need something, you've got fresh resumes there to pick through. That's my thoughts on it.
And so, I mean, that's something that's really can be disheartening to someone applying, especially very early on. So I guess a tip for those of you early on is, I don't see this stuff as much in early stage stuff. We don't have big HR groups, so and they don't have big budgets, so they may not be able to pay you in more than, you know, you're kind of buying a lottery ticket in some ways that hopefully they take off. But you can really build some strong networking by working with early stage type stuff or solo entrepreneurs. You hear, like, that's one thing I do as well, is proactive engagement. I hear people complaining about AWS on social media, and I proactively engage them with, you know, a solution, adding value before I ever try to extract value. So that's something you can do. But like I said, the smaller the organization, the less layers of bureaucracy you've got.
And the more things you're going to be able to touch and learn, et cetera, throughout the entire process there.
Yeah.
Because when there's only a couple of developers in the place, you're going to have to figure things out. You're going to have to be involved with things. And when you branch out and how do we solve this new thing that we want to do? Well, there's no blueprint. You get to be a part of the architecting of that solution.
You just summarized my whole career. Next thing you know, you're dealing with a business that loses $1 million a day if they go down. So you'd be amazed. You know, you end up getting gray hairs, but that's how life is. It you know, it kind of sneaks up on you. So first you're like at some hodunk startup, and next thing you know, you know, it grows into something big. So and again, the squeaky wheel gets the grease in some ways. Like I said, if you're just filling out resumes and forms, you're going to just slide right into the stack of papers. One thing I did years ago is I called the CEO of this company up. I saw the job posting. I called him up. Actually, I looked up his phone number and I found it because he didn't realize that the WHOIS information was publicly available. But the fact I got his phone number, called him up, I went straight to the top of that stack and I pitched him right there on it. And this was when I was 20 years old. I doubt I was legally allowed to drink at that point. Or maybe I was, but again, I was very young.
I did something similar. I chose a city that I wanted to go move to in Colorado, and I looked at all sorts of job postings there. And I found one that was a very good match. And rather than submitting an application, I essentially wrote my manifesto on software development and building software teams. And I got a call back within 24 hours on that one and ended up moving to that city. It was actually interesting because he said, hey, can we talk in several days? I'm like, no, tomorrow I'm going to India, because I was going on one of my first trips over to India at that time. So we had a call literally within 24 hours on that one. And that was, That was a very good experience for me out there. So yeah, how do you stand out from the crowd? Because here's something interesting I noticed some time ago. I was looking at LinkedIn, and there was a company that shall rename nameless that had three jobs listed, and two of them had thousands of applications. And the third one had a handful, less than 10 applications. Difference was those first two had the LinkedIn Easy Apply button on them, and the third one did not. So that LinkedIn Easy Apply button, I think that's something that the AI bots, the AI job application bots look for, because they can read the ad on LinkedIn. They have your LinkedIn profile. They can create a resume on the fly and immediately submit it to that. Whereas the other one actually required you to fill out some sort of different form. That other one also had a person. This is something I've suggested to a lot of people, is when you see a hiring person saying, this is the person that posted this job, I reach directly out to them on LinkedIn. Hey, I have a few questions that I would like to ask you, blah, blah, blah. Any excuse to start a conversation, to separate yourself from the digital stack of resumes that's going to be crazy high. I mean, one of the last places you and I worked together, whenever we would put out a job post, and we would get thousands of applications. So you don't look for reasons. And your first pass through these as a person doing the hiring, you don't look for the ideal candidate. You look for any reason to take that piece of paper and get it out of the pile because you have so many to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You want to know they're a person. So if they bump you on LinkedIn with an actual DM or something like that, yeah, it's a little intrusive, but it's more likely it's a person, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, that's where you send your software manifesto. Also, for the software manifesto, by the way, if they didn't take it, you could repurpose the content, you could use it for someone else. But if I'm the hiring person, I want to know, A, you're passionate, you know, B, you got a plan. You're not just, you know, flying from the seat of your pants. C, another one I want to see, especially if you're early on, is I want to know you're sharpening the axe. I want to know that you're training new skills. So if you're trying new tech out, you know, document your journey of how you're doing that. And one that communicates to potential employers, oh, this person's actually taking the time to, you know, become proficient in something. They're an autodidact. They don't need me to spoon feed them training or anything like that. They're trying to learn new things on their own, and doing it in an interesting way. And they're documenting it to train other people. So I bring them in, they'll learn new technology that's getting thrown at them, and then they'll document it and train up, you know, six more people to do that. And that's very valuable to an employer. And then if you're an employer and that isn't valuable to you, in the comments, let me know why. Because right now technology is moving so fast, you know, that you need to have people, you know, it's not like back in the day, oh, they learned to weld and they're a welder and slap them in the assembly line and they'll be good for the next, you know, 10 years. No, like it's moving so fast. You need people that are excited to keep sharpening the axe, keep learning new things. Otherwise you're going to fall behind very quickly.
So there's somebody that we know that I just watched him go through a job, a senior person on LinkedIn, and it took him weeks to find a job. But rather than just sitting behind his computer quiet and slamming applications all day, every day he would post, here's everything I did yesterday. And it pretty much for every day, I put out this many, no callbacks, put out this many. But he evolved the conversation. And I think it got people's attention to say, here's everything I'm working on. And it brought eyeballs. So the algorithm loves activity, right? The LinkedIn algorithm loves activity. So the more he put out there, the more luck that he generated, right? Had he just quietly sat in his room or his house and just slammed applications all day, he probably wouldn't have gotten the same amount of eyeballs on his profile, showing the activity that he was actually going through. So talking about it in some forum, bringing eyeballs to your, be it your LinkedIn profile, your GitHub profile, whatever it happens to be, is a good thing. But just, I think the AI bots, it may work for you, but I think all in all, if you're just playing a numbers game, but not actually talking about what you're doing, you're going to get lost in the pile.
Yeah. And another thing, I mean, you and I talk about this quite a bit, is that we want to create bingeable content. So, you know, every post I write, you know, the algorithm may not pick up. I write about a very niche subject and it might not make it to my customer. But if I do get the customer to come to my profile or to come to my website or come to my GitHub repo, I want them to be able to binge and binge and binge and really get to know me and understand my process, understand the way I think about things, the way I code, the way I, you know, so you want the same thing. So even if you're not, you know, that content isn't bringing people to you, once say, you know, only one out of 50 resumes, actually, they go to your, you know, website or portfolio of work, you want them to really be able to dig in and get to know you and understand, you know, how you're working there. And the same thing that goes for, if you're on the hiring side, you know, I see being able to really dig in and view that on other people has helped me make better decisions. Cause I understand it. Because if it's just, oh, this is my resume and I worked here, and you're just going to take their word for it on, you know, everything, you could learn just again, so much by binging that backlog of content and open source code projects, whatever. And
you don't use your content. And we've both used this strategy in different situations. You don't use the content necessarily to attract a new customer. It'd be great if it did, but that's not the primary purpose of it. Most of the time it is when somebody is interested in you, when somebody says, hey, I want to know more about you, then they can go back and look at the content and that builds your credibility. It's not using the content necessarily as the introduction. It's using the content post-introduction to say, yes, I am a subject matter expert in this, whatever this happens to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Damn it, I had a side thought here, but... No, I'm completely with you. And again, just it's about communicating to, you know, for both parties. So both parties are on the same thing. We don't want deception. Okay. Maybe the company is a big corporate, you know, juggernaut and they don't want you to behave a certain way. You want to find the company that fits your culture correctly. And if you're the company, you want people that fit your culture. And if your culture is big and corporate, that's great. You're not hiring me likely. If you're, you know, fast paced startup and the developer's got some bad habits, you know, maybe they don't fully write out their tests for test driven development, but they ship code, you know, maybe it's worth, you know, doing that, but it's just understand it. And so here's another kind of side note is if maybe they're, a data scientist or AI or something like that, and GitHub's not their thing, perhaps something like Hugging Face, where you can publish trained models and data sets and things of that nature. That's you know, maybe they forked data sets, something, I don't know. But that's where, you know, there should be something like that where you can tangibly see.
There's so many different things you can do with that. You can do advent of code if you want, which is a really interesting problem that gets exponentially harder. Like I've played advent of code before, and there are some just crazy ninjas out there that can solve some of these problems. Or if you're doing Python, there is it'll come to me in a minute, but every day they will send you a problem to solve and you can solve those problems. You could slowly put those daily coding problems, daily code. Or yes, if you are trying to do an AWS infrastructure, yeah, could you do a Cloud War Games event? So with that, do some shameless self-promotion.
So that's part of the reason I designed Cloud War Games was as a hiring tool to help people stand out in a stack of resumes. If you look at the website, I look at it from a couple different points of view. But you know, if they're using these AI tools, maybe it doesn't matter that they're using those. You don't want them to cheat in an interview, so to say, but you know, let them have at one of these real world training scenarios and see, you know, how they deal with that. So that's one important, you know, tool I've seen to really help people that have the skill set shine, to educate people and to expose those that may be, talking a big game, but actually have not the experience or the skill set to actually get it done. So I didn't want this to turn into a complete commercial there for that, but I wanted to make sure that was mentioned.
But it is on topic. So if a company was looking to hire one or more, AWS, what do you call them? Architects, system engineers. If there's a better title, let me know. Could you arrange for just a private Cloud War Games for them to go through and test their skills real time?
Yes, that is a product we offer. and we should do better at making a landing page for it. But yes, that is one of the products we offer. We can definitely do that. If you're a recruiter and you want to filter out from 100 people, you know, have them show up for one of these sessions and I can run them through the ringer, and I'll tell you pretty quickly. I mean, go back and watch on youtube.com/schematical some of our games. We haven't published any of them in a while, but if you're on the other side of things, if you're a business that wants to, you know, whittle down your potential DevOps engineer, cloud professionals down to the best elite ones, let me know. And if you're one of those cloud professionals that wants to showcase your skills, you should definitely reach out as well and set up another one of these and make sure that the whole world can see it. Looks good on your resume. You can send out those video links to anybody and everybody you're applying for. I'd love to work with you on that.
And that would definitely be a way to A, prove you know what you're doing, but B, a very, very different approach that I haven't seen anybody try before.
Yeah. So I sidetracked myself because I had a different ending for this thing, but whatever. We're nearing the ending, so I think now is a good time to wrap up. Good luck. If you have any thoughts on the hiring... I did have one thought. I understand a lot of people, you know, introverts, they don't want to go out there and make noise. But if you're going to work with people, you have to communicate. And if you're not going to, you know, why not just get a bot? You don't need a human if they're not going to communicate to you. If it's a black box, you know, you want to live in and you just exist in your little hole and not, you know, talking to the people that are requiring your services, then they might as well use AI. So if you want to get a job these days, you have to communicate. And that's what I was talking about this whole thing. How do we accurately, without deception, communicate your capabilities, your learning, your style of coding, your culture that you're looking for? And same thing with the businesses. If you're not communicating any of that stuff, or you're not, you know, going back and forth on it, you might as well just be talking to an AI bot in a black box somewhere. So something to think about. So either way, Dom, I think we're ready to wrap up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is the first of a couple that we're going to talk about insofar as hiring in 2026, even though we're 2 weeks and a day away from that. But mouse and mouse trap. So how can you make yourself stand out in an everly increasingly AI-driven world?
All right. Well, good luck with that. If you at all need our services, we're at schematical.com/consulting if you want to hear about our one-on-one offerings. If you're interested in the group coaching, which is available to businesses as well as individuals, we have schematical.com/community. And if you want to see all the free stuff I give away, trying to make sure people understand I am an expert, go to schematical.com/free. With that said, I'm Matt with Schematical. Have a great day.